Good to be with you on this Friday, the 28th of March. My name is Karen Durante. I'd like to begin firstly by acknowledging traditional owners of land where Let's Talk is broadcast. I'd also like to pay my respects to our elders, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and non-Indigenous elders. Hello to you if you're listening to us on 98.9 FM, on the National Indigenous Radio Service or to our live stream on your device. With us today, we'll be talking to Dr. Dylan Coleman. Dr. Dylan Coleman is from the University of Adelaide, and we're talking about a new book series she's been involved with called Yarning Strong, Crossing Country.
Good morning.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Firstly, Dr. Dylan, tell us your mob, your country.
I'm a Gugudha woman. I'm originally from the far west coast of South Australia, and my mother and grandmother were born at Kuniba Mission. I currently reside on Kaurna country in Adelaide.
Well, you're here to talk to us about a new book series called Yarning Strong, Crossing Country. And it's not a series that you've developed on your own. You've had some help with this.
Yes, I've written one children's novel in a series, and it's been produced by Oxford University Press and Laguna Bay Publishing. And basically, it's an award-winning series from previous particular series, and it's under the theme of land.
And what's yours called?
Mine's called Crossing Country.
Crossing Country.
And I've got a couple of friends here with me today who've had some input into the story as well. Lynette Crocker, who's a Kaurna elder, and also Patrick Burt, who's a lawyer and supports a lot of social justice approaches in the Aboriginal community.
All right. Well, tell us a bit more about the series. So who's it aimed at and what, you know, what are they, what's the purpose of them?
Okay. Well, basically the idea of the document, very important document in South Australia called the 1836 Letters Patent, which was sealed by King William IV, that set the coordinates of the state of South Australia, but also importantly recognised that it's important and has a lot of significance for Aboriginal people here in South Australia and more broadly.
Perhaps your audience should be not just those 8 to 10-year-olds, but the adults as well.
Absolutely. And I think the approaches that myself and my friends are here today.
Well, I might put this question to the elder in the room there, Auntie Lynette Croker. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk.
Thank you.
Tell us, how did you get involved? What, Dylan knew of you and came up to you and said, look, Auntie, I want to do this and I need your help? Is that pretty much how it worked out?
It's been a relationship working towards some sort of agreement.
Is there no existing agreement at the moment under any piece of legislation, whether it's native title or state legislation, in regards to recognising Kaurna people as, you know, traditional owners of the land where you're speaking from today?
Well, there is, you know, we do have a native title.
29.
Mm. So, but we've come to terms, their operative mode. So we don't know who's who yet of Aboriginal affairs or whether things are going to continue on or whether that'll take another system like, you know, Aboriginal studies, really.
And as you were saying before, even some of our own mob don't even know about the letters patent and its significance.
But
I suppose too, with the letters patent, we're asking questions like, can it be used like the Treaty of Waitangi and other treaties elsewhere?
Okay.
And importantly, we're asking those sort of questions in terms of a number of us gathering together and putting forward a framework and looking at representative assemblies of elders as well in terms of being part of that framework and even asking the question, how might we go about self-government? Mm. So the letters patent underpins a lot of these very broad and overarching issues as well. of the important issues that, as Annie Lynette has spoken about in terms of the Kaurna native title as well.
And I think just to, sorry, Dylan, but, you know, we need to have it doesn't need to be like that if people would just do the right thing at the right time. And I think it's time now for people to do that.
Mm.
But we have to still educate people, and we have to tell our young. We have to start indoctrinating our young into.
You've also got in the room there with you, Patrick, but we'll come to Patrick in just a moment to get his input into the book, and also to talk a bit more about the 1836 letters patent. My guest this morning here on Let's Talk, we have Dr. Dylan Coleman, who is a lecturer at University of Adelaide. We're talking about her contribution to the book series Yarning Strong called Crossing Country. We're also speaking to a Kaurna elder, Auntie Lynette Croker, who provided advice to Dylan on the book. And in just a moment, we're going to talk to Patrick Burt, who's a lawyer who added some advice to the book as well, and in particular the 1836 letters patent. Patrick, welcome to Let's Talk.
Thank you, Karen, and hello there, listeners. If I could just first acknowledge that I'm speaking from Kaurna country and give my respects to Kaurna elders past, present and to the future.
Well, Patrick, tell us, how did you become involved in Crossing Country?
Through the Australian Multicultural Writers.
Well, tell us about the 1836 letters patent, and why, I guess, it's been ignored, or if that's the correct way to describe why it's not sort of been the basis for any real conversation between the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people of this country and, those that represent the country's interests. Yeah.
Sorry there, Karen. I think it's a very sad thing and a tragic in British colonies of living room for all. And unfortunately, the government in the United Kingdom, then Great Britain, changed, and he was unable to proceed without the consent of the Crown in London. That was practically the high point, and then the low point occurred on the 28th of December, 1857, as Don Dunstan had specified later, had existed in the letters patent. So it's a complicated legal matter, but it has very strong roots in Aboriginal people's treatment and in Aboriginal people's rights and entitlement to continue to hold and live in their land as they see fit.
And as Auntie Lynette was saying, this doesn't just apply to First Nations people in South Australia. This, is something that could affect other Aboriginal people across the country and Torres Strait Islanders even.
Yes, well, that's certainly the case, because in the high opportunity of bringing change, which will benefit because of its equitable principles, all Aboriginal people across Australia.
Is that the only course open to First Nations people, litigation? Or I only ask that because if you look at the current political landscape, you've got conservative governments, with the exception of South Australia, with the re-election just of the Jay Weatherill government in that state, that it would have to end up in the courts?
Well, I don't think it's for me to second of networking that to also bring forward treaty. And we know that Warren Mundine and the current Prime Minister, if we understand the indications are correct, have that matter available on the table. Here in South Australia, the letters patent descendants support the candlelight available. But in all things political, it's important to talk softly, carry a big stick, I think. Is it a waddy or a plongy? And be firm, as Aboriginal people understand, that the path of negotiation and peaceful settlement of issues of dispute is the way to go forward, but if necessary, a stand has to be taken. So if that answers the question that you asked for the courtesy of your listeners, I'd...
You hope you did justice. I'm sure you did. Patrick, stay with us here on Let's Talk. I want to talk to Auntie Lynette and Dylan a bit further just to get their views on the constitutional recognition route that we're going through at the moment, and also about Warren Mundine and the Prime Minister Tony Abbott talking about treaties. Firstly, to you, Auntie Lynette.
Okay. We've had, like I mentioned before, the state
constitution.
Constitution.
Yep.
And I think, you know, the Commonwealth should be where they can really nail it for us off. So, but I think that has to do with the whole resourcing thing, because one minister, one premier, Mike Gran, I had a conversation with him once and said, why is it that you don't, you know, he used to say he was a disciple of Don Dunstan and of the land taxes, and work on a schedule, give us something, one little inch, you know. They won't give us anything, you know. And that's the whole frustrating part about it.
Mm.
It's like we have to go through this bleating all the time. But to get back to the question you said, I think in Canada around the Constitution, and, you know, it's very simple, and I don't know why they're drawing it out and making it, you know, more than a federal case. It's Section 35 of the Canadian Constitution. Is a good guide and a model for us to follow. You know, you might have to look up some of that stuff.
Dylan, with the, you know, there being open dialogue, at least at the national level, about constitutional recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and also with Abbott saying that he's open to talking about treaties with, you know, the different Aboriginal nations across this country, the kind of dialogue you want to hear, and where you think maybe these sorts of discussions will take place, given that there seems to be an openness about it. We won't even touch the racial discrimination stuff. We just don't have the time. But, yeah, if I could get your response to that, and to wrap up as well, to where people might be able to get the books. I mean, is it in schools already?
Yes, so just in answer to your first question, these are enormously important too, and I think with the way that, you know,
grassroots,
and then also have support from those higher structures, with our political party, we're advocating very much, you know, for a treaty, for these measures, and we're trying to get designated seats in Parliament. I think the approach needs to be across the board, from, you know, at a national level, which is fantastic, but also from a grassroots level and support for that to be done.
Mm.
The Letters Patent is a vehicle.
Let's use it.
Yes, absolutely. And we are trying in any which way, whether it's, you know, writing, you know, entertaining novels for children, or to let them, to educate them about and their teachers with issues.
And just to wrap up, the book, is it in schools at the moment, as far as you know?
My understanding is that, yes, it, you know, it is available,
mm-hmm.
And that it's available both in hard copies in a book as well as audio books.
Yep.
And it's the Oxford University Press and Laguna, and have a look and also order from there.
Order from there. Excellent. Look, I appreciate the time that you've spent with me today, and I wish I had more time to have a chat with you all, but time has run out. Thank you, Dr. Dylan Coleman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Auntie Lynette Croker, and thank you to Patrick Burt as well. And that is Let's Talk for today and this week. Thanks for listening.